Great to be in the presence of the Lord, isn't it? We are so blessed that, number one, as the scripture says, where two or three gather together, he says, I'll be there in your midst. But we can do that here in his midst, and there's no bombs falling. There's no bullets flying like there is in other parts of the country. We can come here together and, you know, worship and get into the presence of the Lord and just let him work on us, right? Let him encourage us, as Ann was saying. Let him give us strength. So it's great to be here this morning, Pastor John and Pastor Kim. You guys are great people. Great. You guys are incredible leaders. Over 35 years of shepherding and leading a church. That's a lot. You guys got to be tired. I mean, he's saying about, you know, we were young, and man, that's a long, long time. You don't see pastors stick around a church for 35 years anymore. You don't. You don't see anybody stay at a workplace anymore for 35 years except for Sean. I'm telling you. I mean, you don't see that anymore. The average for a person is 4, 5, maybe 6 years, and there's just continual transition. And not just your faithfulness to the church, but your faithfulness in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Just their faithfulness and their relationship with him. And then their faithfulness and relationship to each other. And then to their child, their church that God laid on their heart to birth all those years ago. Thank you for being obedient to the Holy Spirit and pulling out from that church to allow another church to be birthed, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Boy, we're going through crazy times, aren't we? Good job to the worship team, by the way, before I forget. Great job. Great job. Thank you. Do you guys remember the, I call it the Christian lawsuit that went all the way to Supreme Court? It was the Christian couple or family that owned the bakery. And a couple, whatever they were, came to have a cake made for a gay wedding or whatever it was. And they said no. And it went all the way to Supreme Court. So that that law firm is NCLL, National Community Life and Liberty. Is the name of that law firm, and I was talking to one of those attorneys in that law firm a couple weeks ago, and he has said to me, he said, Adam, he said, COVID's been replaced with crazy. He said, people are just crazy today. He said, you wouldn't believe what we're seeing and what's coming across our desk. He said, COVID has replaced crazy. Crazy has replaced COVID. It's just nuts. People are going crazy, he said. You wouldn't believe it. But you know, in the time in the world we're living in, we're living in a crazy day. Can you even pause for a moment and try to think pre-COVID? We said we lived in a crazy world pre-COVID. We were trying to just keep up. And then you add COVID, and then you add Russia and Putin and all that stuff to it. It's like cosmos, you know, the world just constant crazy. And then for you folks to transition, to be in a place of COVID and then transitioning from lead pastor to something else, that's a big deal. It's really a big deal on both sides, for both the pastors and for you guys. It really, really is. So I feel for you guys. But I know that there's power in the Holy Spirit. There's a leading of the Holy Spirit, and he will not leave you orphan. He's not just going to forget about you. Okay? So as we look a little bit today in Scripture, I have a buddy. Anytime he knows I'm preaching, he calls my cell phone. That's the kind of buddies I have. He'll just do it to see if your phone's turned off or try to interrupt you. So I left my phone back there, and it's turned off. Okay? I didn't even bring it because I have a clock over here. But to begin to think about common scriptures, if I was to title today's message, I would call it, I have been nudged. Have you recently been nudged? Talking about nudging and prompting of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at a few scriptures, and thanks to the guys in the back, I at the last minute threw some things for them, but I typically use the New Living Translation. So I like people to try to get where my mind is, so I'm going to share a couple scriptures with you to start to get you thinking, and then we'll talk a little bit here. But in John 14:12, and you guys, I'm watching, you guys like do your version Bible app, or y'all paper people, or you see some both maybe? Yeah. Very good, good. A little bit of both. So John 14:12, you know, Jesus is in the business of multiplication. Jesus is in the business of multiplication. In John 14:12, red letters, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. I want to give you something you can stand on, Jesus says. Anybody who believes in me will do the same works that I have done, and even greater works than I have done. Multiplication. Even greater works I have done. Why? Why is it possible that anybody that believes in me will do greater works? Because Jesus says, I'm going to go be with the Father. And you can ask anything in my name, and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. It's all about bringing glory back to Jesus. He says, yeah, absolutely. Ask me anything in my name, and I will do it. I'm going to come back to these scriptures as well. So it is the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit. In John 14, 15 and 17, Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commandments. Or I look at it and think of it as, okay, when I love Jesus, I follow the leading of Jesus. When you love me, you'll follow my leading. If you love me, follow my commandments. If you love me, you'll follow my commandments. Same. And I will ask the Father, as you do this, I will ask the Father, and he's going to give you another advocate who will never leave you. I think it was Summer who just kept repeating, never let you down. I will never let you down. I will never let you down. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'll never leave you, Jesus says. What a great promise that we have in Jesus. And this, he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. And this person who is the advocate is my Spirit, Holy Spirit. And what he does for you, he leads you in all truth. Now, this is a great sentence. The next sentence says, the world cannot receive him. Have you ever wondered why the world just doesn't know, doesn't receive, doesn't recognize the Holy Spirit? The world cannot receive him, my Spirit, Holy Spirit, because they're not looking for him. Isn't that simple? The only reason they don't recognize him is because they're not even looking for him. It's just the simplicity of the fact they don't look for him and they can't recognize him. They can't acknowledge him because they're not even looking for him. I was in a meeting not too long ago and an individual said he cannot believe he's a psychiatrist. He said, I cannot believe the number of 30 and 40-year-olds who have no idea anything about Jesus. That's what he said. That's what he said. The world can't recognize my Spirit, Jesus says, because they're not looking for him. So as us as Christians, we know about him, we look for him, hallelujah. The advocate is there with us. John 14, 26 and 27, but when the Father sends the advocate, now let's stop here, advocate, my Spirit, Holy Spirit. Let's just dig a little bit deeper. Can we dig a little bit deeper? Throw some more words in there for advocate, comforter. This Holy Spirit that the world doesn't even look for. You know why they're not comforted? You know why it's so chaos? They don't even know that they are someone, a spirit that they can look for that is comforting. An encourager. Who needs encouragement nowadays? His Spirit is an encourager to anyone who looks for him, will recognize him, and has the encouragement. An intercessor. A helper. It depicts that the role of the Holy Spirit is to protect, defend, save us from ourselves, hallelujah, from my crazy mind, right? From all the stuff that tries to rise up in my life. It saves from myself, from our enemies, and to keep us whole and to keep us healed. He is the one who guides, defends, comforts, and consoles. Keep in mind that Holy Spirit is Spirit of Christ, our Savior. He's our Savior. Holy Spirit comes to end the work of the curse of sin in our lives and to save us from the very effect. He's a redeemer who ends the curse. So I said that if I was to title this, it would be I've been nudged or I've been prompted by the Holy Spirit. I want to give you two examples from scriptures that we can look at and see where someone's been nudged or prompted by the Holy Spirit. The first one is in the book of Acts. I didn't put any scriptures up because I'm going to actually go through here because I'm just going to come right out of my Bible. But in Acts chapter 8, there's this guy named Philip, right? And it says over in 8 verse 4, the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. And then it goes on to say, crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear the good news. There it is again, crowds, multiplication. What does it constantly say in scriptures that follow Jesus? Multitudes follow Jesus. Multiplication. Philip is here in the book of Acts, and it's talking about the good news. Well, you are familiar with the Great Commission in Matthew 28, right? In simplicity put, go make disciples all around the world. Or Jesus is saying, hey, listen, wherever you go, mention me. Philip, wherever you go, disciples, wherever you guys go, the spirit, that life is inside of you. Listen, wherever you go, just mention me, Jesus says. Mention me. Why? Because when they learn of me, they actually are going to want more of me. And I have a gift for them, Jesus says. Salvation. I have a gift for them. So when you mention Jesus and they want to learn more about me, then they understand that they have a gift. Jesus has a gift for them. And so the good news, you know, we can say the Gospels, the good news is the Gospel. Gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Gospels, the books of the Gospel, okay? And they all basically talk about the parallel Gospels, we say. They talk about the birth of Jesus, the works of Jesus, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then the leaving of His Holy Spirit to us, as we just mentioned. Encourager, counselor. And so here we have Philip in verse 28. And it says, 26. I'm getting that age where I need glasses. And for Philip, as for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south. Philip, I want you to go down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and he met a treasurer, an Ethiopian treasurer, who was a eunuch of great authority under Kanake, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning, seated in his carriage, and he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And the Holy Spirit said to Philip, the Holy Spirit nudged Philip, prompted Philip, and said, Philip, go over and walk beside the carriage. And I love Philip's response. It says, what did the Holy Spirit tell him to do? Go walk along. It says, Philip ran. He's excited. He was prompted by the Holy Spirit, and he didn't go walking over there. He went running over there, and then you know the story. He heard. He was reading Isaiah, and he jumped up to him, and he was mentioning Jesus, and he was able to help him to learn more to the fact that the guy said, whoa, stop this chariot. I need to be water baptized. Isn't that multiplication in this one person's life because Philip followed after the leading of the Holy Spirit? Do you want to see God's will be done? Do you want to see God's kingdom come? You know, I see in church today you have followers of Jesus, you have admirers of Jesus. A.W. Tozer calls them those who know Jesus by hearsay. It's just what they've heard people say, and even some, and I'm not condemning anyone, okay? There's even people in churches today, the only Jesus they really know is what they've heard the preacher say, or people say this, and they know all their scriptures just by remembering. And Tozer says, yeah, they know Jesus by hearsay. That's as thick as a relationship gets. But see, Jesus doesn't need admirers. He doesn't need followers. He needs doers of the word, of the leading and the prompting of the Holy Spirit, that will go out and jump on and follow after. If you love me, you'll follow me. And he's looking for it. You want to see change? You want to see change in your world? You want to see change in your community? You want to see change in your life? Do. Act. Act on the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And I believe back at John 14, 12, when Jesus says, anything you ask in my name, I will do. I believe, and I want to dig into this deeper, ask in my name. I believe it's when the Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, prompts you, he'll do anything. You know why? Because that's when the anointing is there. That's when the Holy Spirit is there. That's when the will of God is there. And when he prompts you, go to so-and-so, say so-and-so in that chariot down along the desert, that's when things begin to happen. I'll do anything in my name. I'm going to prompt you, my counselor, my teacher, my advocate. The Holy Spirit's going to be inside of you, flowing through you, life in you. When I prompt you and you jump on that, anything you ask in my name will be done. Why? Because that which was asked is his will, and that's exact time, and he's going to do it. And then what happens? Greater works. Greater works how? What? Because of the prompting and the leading of the Holy Spirit, greater works can be done because his people, the church, individually and as a whole, are following after the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And that's when things get triggered, and that's when you see greater works. That's when you see great things begin to take place. Some Christians are starting to lose faith. For some, church has become boring. And I know that COVID has created a great shift in people's lives, and a lot of people are concerned about health and different things, but every church across the nation, 30 to 40% attendance, gone. Gone. They can come back. There's a few I know, and I'm not knocking anyone, not judging anyone, I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking as the church as a whole. Attendance is way down. People can come back if they want to. It's almost like there's been a shifting. Those who maybe thought church is boring, they were losing their faith. It's, you know, their faith is dwindling, and they say there's really nothing in church for me. They're starting to disbelieve and debate it. Conspiracy theories have become louder in their mind than the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those conspiracy theories are strong. He says that he will guide us and lead us in truth, right? He says, I have some truth for you. I mean, those conspiracy theories are strong. People get into those, and they tap into those, and they start to research it more, and it just grows and grows and grows and grows. Well, you got to be careful. But, you know, these people begin to dwindle and come down because when the Holy Spirit prompts them, if the Holy Spirit is even the loudest voice in their heart right now, be careful. Think about it. Conspiracy theories are more in my face and me in my ears than the Word of God. I spend more time in conspiracy theory, and I'm just whatever, news or whatever it is, okay, than I am in the Word of God. Therefore, that's the loudest voice in my mind and my heart. It's just human nature. It's just, right? It's just, anybody ever read the book by Craig Groeschel, Winning the War Against Your Mind? It's a fantastic book. He talks about how thoughts in our mind become like a rut. And it's just immediately something happens, boom, you got that thought. You know, usually it's a lot of times it's negative. A lot of times it works against you. It's just that rut. And in this book, he not just talks about the fact that there is, he goes through the whole process of teaching you how to no longer have a rut, but create a new thinking pattern. It's a great book for a study. Great book for a study. And so we need to step into the realm of doing, following the prompting of the Holy Spirit and the nudging that we get. You know, the devil doesn't have to destroy you if all he has to do is distract you. The devil doesn't need to destroy you to take you down. If he just distracts you, not hearing and doing the prompting of the Holy Spirit, right? Doesn't have to destroy you. So can I share, I have one more example for you, and it's the example of Jesus, but in between those two, can I share just a little bit of example, or a little bit of testimony, if you will, a little bit of nudging of the Holy Spirit that I have had happening in my life. So about 6 to 9 months ago, it came aware to me that most of my kids, and I forgot to say, my family is back there. If you talk to my wife for 30 seconds, you'll realize I married up, okay? I totally married up. So my wonderful wife is here, and we're going to go right down the line. My son is here with his great friend Mallory, precious girl. Thank you, Mallory, for being here. And then Priscilla is married to Braden, a fantastic man of God, great guy right there, and we're so happy for them to be married together. So Priscilla and Braden is back there too. And so, it became aware to me that a lot of the, as I mentioned earlier, someone else said, a lot of their age group, I kind of joke and make light of it, but it's very serious. They don't even know how to spell Jesus. They have no concept, nothing. They know nothing that there's a Savior, that Jesus, they know so little. And, you know, okay, I was made aware of it, but then it became more of a prompting to me and more of a nudging, and the Holy Spirit kept bringing that back to me. And I've been nudged, literally, that not just 20s, 30s, 40s, but there's a lot of folks out there right here that we've rubbed shoulders with each and every day that just don't have a relationship. They're not tied into a church. They're not tied into Jesus. And so something that my family does is we have what we call a book of remembrance. And it's just an old tablet. I think my grandmother's name's on the front, and it's got scribble notes in it and stuff. And we've taken that old tablet, and we write down the year. And then at the end of every year, beginning of a year, we have a time of remembrance and goal setting and goal reviews that we do as a family. And so this year as we did that, you know, we pull out our phones because all your pictures have dates. And we'll go through and we'll just go back through and we start to thank the Lord for all the great things he's done month by month. And it's just a book of remembrance. If you get down, you can pull out our book of remembrance and you can go through and look at the faithfulness of God in your life, your family. And so we do that and we look at the goals we set last year and we talk about them. We set the goals for the future. And you know, I'm young, I guess, maybe 47, 48, but I'm already thinking about the stuff that Betty and I have. You know, I want it to be transitioned to the next generation, to our kids, but I want to make sure when it's transitioned that things that come from that is sown back into the kingdom of God. And so we've tried to, and I don't know what I'm doing. I've never raised kids before, right? Like, we're all in the same boat. So I'm like, okay, I'm getting older. I'm going to die. We've accumulated this stuff. When you sell it and you have this and you have that, you know, what's going to happen with all of it? And so we put so much hard work into it. We want to kind of make sure something continues to go. And one of the things to continue is sowing into the kingdom of God. And so we've begun to talk about these things and with our kids and stuff. And so as we met and we talked about our goals and different things, I said, guys, what's the Lord saying to you? What are you feeling in your heart? What are you feeling is taking place in your lives? And what's the Lord saying to you? And so I shared with them the prompting that I've had of the Lord just saying that, Adam, there's a lot of people out there that you know that's not really being invited to church. I'm at a church down in Cumberland, 35 miles away. It takes some time. It's hard to invite someone down there. And you know, so we talk about different things. Like, I bounce it off the kids. You think it would be cool? You think it would be attractive for if we rent the Pitt Theater and we do some kind of church thing, you know, just 45 minutes, you think the people would come? And then I have the second thoughts because being in the church world, what are you going to do with all the kids? How are you going to do this? How are you going to do that? And so just, you know, going back and forth over some time, really just praying and asking the Lord to, okay, Lord, I feel like you've nudged me. I feel like you've led me. Now what? Now, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? I want to do, and you know, I'm connected over to the insurance company Reed Wirtz and Rodman, and you know, it's amazing because I live a life of Christianity. I typically don't push on people, but I'll say things, and they say things to me like, Adam, is that your church word for that? You better believe it. You know, I'm human like they are, but it's come to a place where I've gotten in relationship with those at Reed Wirtz and Rodman pre-COVID. Pre-COVID, there was things happening and transitioning in the lives of the... They asked me to have a prayer meeting. Yeah. They asked me if we could get together and pray in the conference room. And after I gathered myself off the floor, I said, of course we can. Yes. Let's go. And so there was 5, 7, 10, I don't remember, people that showed up and you know, went around, left each one of them talk and cry, and we spent 5 to 7 minutes in prayer. And then there was a gentleman, one of the salesmen that was working on his car, and the car fell on him and crushed him and killed him. And they asked me if we could do a moment of silence and prayer for the you know, you hit the call all on the phones and it goes to everybody's phone and different things like that. And so over time, you know, I thought, you know, I kind of have an effect of people in Bedford, so maybe, you know, my face is on billboards. Somebody else was saying they see me in the newspaper. I go to Save a Lot and people are waving at me. And I'm like, how are you? I don't know them, but it's because, you know, it's just, and I'm not saying like, yay for me. I'm just saying, Lord, what about all this stuff? I'm already established in zip code 21502 in Cumberland. You know, why up here? And he just keeps saying, well, you're more effective up there. You're known up there. You know people up there. You can bring people up there. And so that's where I've been at in this leading and directing of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, keep that in mind and keep it in your prayers. But that's just the little things that's been going on in my life. And I know if I was to stop and to ask you, the Holy Spirit's been nudging you to do things. And I just want to encourage you to go and to do those things. Let's look at one more example. Time's really flying by here. John 4:4, in the book of John, if you will, you have Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And, you know, Jews and Samaritans didn't see eye to eye. Okay? And it says there, in starting at verse 1, John 4, Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John was, actually, though Jesus himself didn't do the baptizing. But it says in verse 3, so he left Judea and returned to Galilee. And so if you look at a map, Judea is down here. And then if you go straight across is the Dead Sea. And then if you go on up, Galilee's way up here. So you have the Sea of Galilee, which runs down into the Dead Sea. And you all know why the Dead Sea is dead, right? It all comes in, but
nothing comes out.
Ooh. Yeah. Jesus came in. Holy Spirit prompted me to do. Nothing came out. Anyhow, has anybody ever been to Israel?
Yeah.
Fantastic. My wife has done that at our church several times, a fantastic tour she's put together for the church to go to Israel. She's been there twice. I've been there once. It's phenomenal. If you ever get a chance, start saving your money now. And do it. It's an all-inclusive thing. It's just fantastic to wrap all that around your brain and to see things. So Judea, Galilee, Samaria is kind of in between. And you know, Jesus could have gone around Samaria. There's lots of ways. It's just a little village, and he could have gone around. But it says in the King James Version, but Jesus needed to go through Samaria. And then, you know, so many times in this story, and actually in verse 8, it says that Jesus was alone. And you know the story, the woman at the well, and he says to her, please give me a drink. And it says in verse 8, he was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. And I think that was actually a nudging of the Holy Spirit right there for God. Yeah, you guys go ahead. I'll hang out here. And you know that Jesus is being led by the Holy Spirit, because if you look at the parallel, well, actually, yes, always. And if you look at the parallel in Luke 4:14, it says, then Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit. So it says that he was being led by the Holy Spirit as he went up there, so he's being nudged. And Jesus said to this woman, if you only knew the gift that God has for you. Remember I mentioned earlier, Great Commission, if you mentioned Jesus, the gift, he's got something for him, he's got a gift. And he talks to this lady, he said, if you only knew the gift. And so she doesn't really get the gift idea thing. And so he goes on, and Jesus, you know, being led by the Holy Spirit and nudged, he says, well, yeah, go get your husband and come back. I don't have a husband. And of course he says, you're right. Not only five, but you're on number six. And she's blown away. She's blown away. Now that shows a little bit of a picture for me. Someone who has had five on six, you know there's got to be some kids, right? So do some simple math. Say two kids, six times two is 12. That's 12 kids. Kids have kids. 24, you can put 30 to 50 people know this lady really well, really quick, right? So she knew some people she was known of, okay? I'm sure she was known in the village. And so she goes back, excuse me, back to the village. And if you jump down to verse 39, this is just phenomenal. It says, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus. Now that's phenomenal, but I wanted to know why. And he tells us, why did so many multitudes, multiplication, Samaritans come and believe in Jesus all of a sudden? Only because the Samaritan woman said something, said anything. All she said was, he told me everything I ever did. That's all she said. One little statement's recorded here. This woman said, I met a guy, he told me everything I ever said. And multitudes, crowds, many came and believed in Jesus. By this woman simply saying, and they're like, he said everything you did? Woo! I want to meet this guy. Like, it just spoke volumes. Why? How? Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, working through Jesus, he offered her a gift she didn't understand. He took another angle, being led by the Holy Spirit, after sending the disciples away, led by the Holy Spirit, said, well, let me mention this. They talked back and forth about Jews and Samaritans. She asked some questions, and then she took off back to the village, said one statement, and all these people came and believed in Jesus Christ. Isn't that a beautiful story? They came and they believed in Jesus Christ. Now, you know, in Matthew 11:30, it says that Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Why? Because my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden I give you is light. You see, what I took from that scripture was, because I started to get burdened. I said, Lord, okay, you gave me this, you gave me that. How do I connect all the dots? And what I saw in this scripture was, listen, Adam, when my yoke is easy, when you connect to me, you know, the yoke, the ox, and one, what, you can get into this whole teaching of what one horse, one ox can pull versus two together, the yoke. He says, Adam, when you join me in, and when you take my yoke, when you take my burden, the burden's no longer a heavy burden when you just connect to me. I said, thank you, Lord. I'm not sweating this anymore. I'm just not going to sweat this anymore. I mean, this has been 6 to 9 months. It's been running through my heart and my brain. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? And I said, okay, Lord, fine. It's your yoke. I'm joining you. He doesn't want us downtrodden by the work he's asked us to do. You think Jesus was sweating this whole thing with this Samaritan woman? You think Philip was sweating? He didn't. Okay, I got to go. No, he took off running. He was excited. It wasn't heavy for him. It was light. It was rest for his soul, it says. I will teach you. And for me, in the past 6 to 9 months, then I got a phone call from Pastor John, and he said, hey. I said, hey. And we chatted back and forth, and I shared some of this with him, and he's like, wow. And I'm like, wow. And here we are today. You know, I don't know. I'm just trying to be led and follow the commandments from Jesus because I love him. And so here I stand today. In 1 John 5:3, it says, true love for God means obeying my commands. And again, as you love the Lord, you'll follow his lead, you'll follow his truth. And it says that his commands, his truth, his leading, his prompting, don't weigh us down as heavy burdens. Now, I added a lot in there. What it simply says in 1 John 5:3, true love for God means obeying his commands, and his commands don't weigh us down as heavy burdens. His truth, his leading, doesn't weigh you down like a heavy burden. It's energy to our souls. It's life to our souls. When you love God, you'll follow his word. When you love God, you'll allow his Holy Spirit to guide you. When you love God, the energy of Christ flows through you and to other people of this world. It becomes a delight. It becomes refreshing as you show and allow the light and the life of Jesus to flow through you. So in closing today, think about this for me, with me for a moment. If Jesus was to come back today, it's 11:30. Let's see, literally, the door opens, and whatever you think Jesus looks like, that's always fun to talk about. Because what they think he's white. He's not white, he's a Jew. He's dark-skinned. Anyhow, forget it. If he walks through here, and he stands here, and he says, my return will be today at 7 p.m., and he walks back out the door. If Jesus was to come in here right now and stand right here, right now, and say, I'm coming back at 7 p.m. today, what would you be doing for the next 6.5, 7 hours? What would you do? Go clean your house, balance your checkbook, get your motorcycle out one last time, go out to eat, go shopping, blow your whole checking account. What would you really do? In sincerity, if Jesus walked in here and said, listen, I don't want to get all weird or anything, but I definitely see the birth pains of the return of Jesus Christ, Russia, Ukraine, Ezekiel 36, 37, 38. He's coming back. He's coming back. What would you spend your next moments doing? 1 Timothy says there's one God, there's one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity. So in closing today, I want to just pray for you. Is that okay? I just want to pray for you guys, but I want to give you a chance to respond. And I'm not calling you to come forward, relax, butterflies, go away, relax everybody, okay? All I simply want to ask is if you see, if you've been able to see in Scripture that the Holy Spirit, his advocate, his teacher, his life, his spirit is desiring to reach others through you and through this church, and the awareness of it and the prompting of it. Would you just stand with me? If you see that and you care and you want to say, Lord, I don't want to admire you. I don't want to just follow you. I want to be like Philip. I want to be like Jesus. I want to do. Would you stand with me this morning? If you feel that at all. If you don't, I'm not judging you. You can sit down. I don't looking for a full house to stand. I just want you to say, Lord, I've heard your word today. Father, we just stand here before you today. Your Holy Spirit is such a great comforter, a great advocate, a counselor, an encourager, healer, deliverer. You are our Savior, Father. Lord, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your word. And Father, our love, and as we follow you, your truth, Lord, it shows our love back to you. We thank you for that today, Jesus. We thank you, Father, for your compassion and your grace that you shed upon us. Father, I stand here this morning and say, Lord, forgive me. Father, forgive me for the times and the moments that I've missed. Of where the door was open to mention you in a conversation and I didn't. The world and the people, Father, all around us are just hurting. They're dying. Some know of you, some don't know of you. Some have had a relationship with you and the world has pulled them away. They've fallen away from you, Father. And they're just simply waiting for that person to bring a bit of encouragement. They're waiting, Father, for that person to be prompted by your Spirit and speak just a simple word into them so that they can respond and come back to a greater relationship with you. Father, forgive me for not making the most of every opportunity that you've given me. But Father, at the same time, I want to say thank you for prompting me. Thank you for nudging me. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, I just pray that as I've been praying for some months, Lord Jesus, that, Father, you would open and close doors and put me and place me where you would have me to be to share your truth and to share your gospel. Yes, Lord, we can do it every day. Wherever we're at, the person behind the cash register, the person that we're working with, a friendly card or gesture to anyone can minister to someone, Father. We thank you for that, Lord. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be the common voice. Your truth would be the loud voice in our mind, Lord. During this time of craziness of the world that we live in, Jesus, Holy Spirit, arise inside of us, O God. Burn inside of us, Holy Spirit, with a compassion for the lost. Father, for drawing closer to the cross for you, Lord Jesus, so that we may know you in a greater way, so that you may breathe and bring life and revelation into our lives. And Father, that we walk around with our heads held high, that you raise us up above all the chaos that's going around in the world, and we soar above that, Lord Jesus, as a witness unto you, Father, as one where we can just stop and pause and pray with people anywhere, any place, Father, to give them encouragement, your Spirit, to give them comfort, your Spirit, to let them know they have an advocate, someone interceding for them, you, Father, to glorify you, O God. Father, I thank you for this people here at Acts Community Church. I pray that you bless them and keep them. I thank you, Father, for Pastor John and Pastor Kim, Father, for their heart of servant and leadership for all those years, Father. I pray that you would bless them and that you would keep them, that your face would shine upon them, that your favor would be upon them, and not just as your scripture says, not only the favor of God, but the favor of man over them and in their lives as they move forward, Lord Jesus, in the days to come. Bless this people in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for revealing your word to us this day. Help us, Father, to meditate on these words, to think on these words in the days to come. Continue to stir us and direct us, O God, and we do give you all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Thanks for having us today.